Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 on this beautiful Friday morning here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Three more hours to go. First hour, fast moving. We're going to keep it moving. Let's head up to Chicago, Windy City. Let's bring in former Bears wide receiver Tom Waddle, who's with ESPN 1000 in Chicago. The Bears come to town on Sunday at Nissan Stadium to take on the Titans. We laugh, Tom. I don't know why we always feel like when we reference the Chicago Bears, we have to do that. But you just can't get it out of your head. You have to say the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, it was a memorable Saturday Night Live skit that has lived now for better than two decades. But, yeah, it's cool. It's cool to be a Bears fan. It's cool to be a former Bear, even though their offense right now looks like a hot mess. I just know last time I think the Bears came to Nashville, didn't our fans drink the town dry?
That was a fact. Yes, it was not an exaggeration.
Nope.
They literally ran out of beer.
Representing. Yeah.
They undershot the Bears fans that day, and it was a Bears victory, and boy, did they celebrate.
It was. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't remember if the team won. All I remember from the whole weekend was that Bears fans drank the city dry, which I've had two daughters go to Vanderbilt. I know that's a difficult task to drink that town dry.
Well, to make the connection, that was a Jay Cutler-led Bears team, and
that's
the
right.
Bears at the time were really having a good year, and then Jay got hurt.
Yeah.
And the season went a little south, if I recall.
I'm embarrassed because you remember Bears history better than I do.
Well,
we had
it was a pretty memorable day.
That's true. On our show this week, we've actually half joked about, because of our quarterback issues, Mitch isn't going to be there to be a backup. Tyler Bray, nobody really knows much about him. And Nick Foles is standing behind a very bad and porous and beaten up offensive line. If we could just get Jay to come out and be the emergency quarterback, everyone was, you know, I think we put a poll question out. I think 70% of Bears fans wanted to see it, but we can't find Jay. Maybe you guys can.
Well,
he was at Mike Fisher's
charity event last week, so he is in town.
He's here.
Okay.
He's
well,
here.
If you see him, tell him I say hello.
He's selling his big mansion, so I don't know exactly if he's still living in it or what, but.
But he also can make himself scarce, as we know.
Yes.
He can lay low.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. We used to host the Jay Cutler show back here in Chicago when he was around, and we became actually really good friends. Jay on the field, Jay off the field, totally different guys, but we loved both guys.
Yeah, no doubt. So, and by the way, we got a heads up. There was a Predators home game that Saturday night, and we walked into the arena, Tom, and went, our downtown is completely filled with Bears jerseys. I think all of Chicago, or not all of Chicago, a lot of Chicago is on our city. I mean, they were everywhere. You couldn't miss a Bears fan walking around Saturday night before that game. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. I'll say this about all Chicago sports fans. They travel. and I know that there's going to be some in Nashville on Sunday that are making the trip. I know that there's regulation and there's a, you know, only a certain number of people that can get into the building. But I know some folks that are heading that way.
As a former player, you're the perfect guy to ask, because this is what we've been batting around in the first hour. So we're gonna ask you to rank these three positions that are going to be what we suspect are going to be brand new. So, yes, you're going to point out some of the Bears' deficiencies and some of the problems they're facing coming to this game. Well, the Titans have their own deficiencies and problems as well, including cutting their long snapper this week. So Bo Brinkley, who's been there 8-plus years, and the only time we've ever talked about him, which is a good thing about a long snapper, is when he hit a hole-in-one on a golf course and won a barrel of Jack Daniels. So he's gone. That's a win. We suspect Brett Kern, the all-pro punter, is not going to play. And the holder, so with that being said, Kern is the holder as well. So rank toughest to easiest to replace, in your opinion, these three categories, long snapper, holder, and punter. Which one is the easiest to replace and which one's the toughest? And how's your order go?
Okay, toughest is the long snapper.
Thank you.
Because you're struggling with punts and extra points. I would say next, then, honestly, with no disrespect to punters themselves, the holder has got to be, because it's a new snapper, the holder is even more important. And if your holder is a backup trying to put the ball down for your kicker from a substitute long snapper, I'd put him as the second most difficult. And we can all kick, right? I mean, you guys could go out there and punt a little bit. You know?
Well, we've done that in the past. We've done that as a bit on the show, yes.
So, yeah, that, I would say most difficult to replace is your long snapper, then your holder based on the circumstances that you just described, and then the punter. Look, punters are very important. I'm just joking, but that's the way I would go. Did I win a prize? Or
interesting.
Do you guys agree with me?
I went long snapper and these as the toughest, and these guys did not agree with that. And I said punter, then holder as the least. So interesting. So you think the holder is next after long snapper?
Yeah, because he's a backup, right? And he's trying to get the ball down for his kicker from a backup snapper. People don't understand how difficult it is to be as accurate as you need to be as a long snapper. I have a lot of respect for that. We had a guy here in town, Patrick Manley, who I think set the record for most games played by any Bears player in the history of this long storied franchise, and he was fantastic. And you just take the element of disappointment out of the equation because you know the ball is going to get there on field goals, extra points, and punts. It's a really vital part of what you're doing on special teams for sure.
Tom, after we all sat there in disbelief this past Sunday going, did the Titans just really get smoked by the Bengals? What just happened? I decided to, you know what, okay, the Bears are up next. I'll play my Bill Belichick. I'll go Bill Belichick. I'll channel him and go on to the Bears. So I'm going to watch the Bears Saints. It was on in this market. So I watched your all's game start to finish. It's no secret. The defense is spectacular. The offense leaves a lot to be desired. So with that being said, in your eyes, because you understand offense, what is their biggest problem? Because I look at their offensive line is makeshift. They can't run the ball. Nick Foles throws a lot of picks. But what concerns you the most about their offense?
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you enjoy the play? like your show's got three more hours, right? I mean, I don't have to leave the house until one. But look, it's everything. By the way, I'll take a step back and say I'm sure you all are very disappointed that your Titans team has lost two in a row, and definitely going to my hometown of Cincinnati and getting beaten by the Bengals team. That's a team that's improving week to week with a really good quarterback. So tough loss, yes, but there are going to be some other teams that lose to the Bengals throughout. I think you guys will be the most focused you've been in the last 6 weeks. Like, and I equate it to what the Bears faced on Monday night against the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams got their asses kicked by the 49ers. They punched them in the mouth, and I think it was a wake-up call for them. And then the team that the Bears saw on that Monday night was a much more focused Rams team. Not telling you – you know, what your team's going to do. You have a better feel for them than I do, but I think your team's going to come out and be prepared. With regard to the Bears' offensive inefficiencies, it's everything, guys. I mean, the offensive line before the injuries was very, very bad. They don't create any space in the running game. They don't protect their quarterback very well. The coach is reluctant to actually commit to running the football to take pressure off the quarterback at this point. A bad offensive line is now going to be without 60% of their week one starters. Again, they have not been willing to commit to running the football. They abandon it quickly, and that leaves an immobile quarterback in Nick Foles to run around back there and throw off his back foot and throw it up for grabs, and that's what we've seen. They've been inefficient everywhere. They're 29th in yards. They're 28th in points per game. Nick hasn't taken care of the football. There's no creativity to the game plan. I mean, look, I could go on forever, and this isn't a rut either. Statistically, this Bears offense with this regime in charge over the last 31 games, they average less than 18 points per game on offense, and it's a crime because their defense is so good. And you mentioned you watched this Bears defense this past Sunday against the Saints. That wasn't even one of their better performances. They're capable of much better. So here in town, we're just very – we're depressed because we do have a defense that we all feel is being wasted by this offense that just can't get on track.
I thought Matt Nagy was supposed to be the offensive mind. I thought he was supposed to be the offensive guru.
Yes, that's how he was advertised. He was supposed to come to town and revolutionize the offense. And you know, early on, he was working with a quarterback he didn't pick. Ryan Pace, the general manager, is the one that decided that Mitchell Trubisky would have been a better choice, not only at number three in the 2017 draft, but why don't we trade some picks and move up to two and take him instead of Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes? That hasn't worked out real well. It wasn't Matt's choice at quarterback, but I am more than a little bit surprised that he hasn't been able to develop Mitch more. I don't think he's been willing to kind of build the offense around the things that Mitch has done well. And he's wanted to implement this offense. And I think what we have found over the course of the last two-plus years is you can't run the Kansas City offense without the Kansas City personnel. And we don't have Kansas City personnel. I look at you guys, and I look at a team that used first-round picks on their offensive tackles. You know, if you can't run the ball and protect a dependent quarterback, you're in trouble. And I love what Tannehill's doing right now, and I think he's in a perfect situation, and he's well-coached, and he's playing great. Statistically, he's been as good as Mahomes over the last 18 games. But your team is built right on offense. Ours isn't.
We're talking to Tom Waddle, former Chicago Bear, sports talk show host, ESPN 1000, in Chicago, a great station up there. Tom, you just laid it all out. As much of the worry list you have for the Chicago Bears offense, which has been a big theme of your show, I can tell.
Yeah.
In Nashville, the same thing has been going on, talking about the Titans defense. So you have that matchup. And then, as you said, an excellent Bears defense against a really good Titans offense. So let's start with the matchup of trying to stop Derrick Henry. What is that a strength of the Bears' defense? Can they slow him down?
I think of the things they do, it's not. It's probably the thing they do least impressively is stop the run. They get after the quarterback. They cover well. They jump routes. They create some havoc. They're solid, don't get me wrong, against the run. But if I was the Titans, it's exactly what I would do. I would take my running game. I'd load it up, and I'd run the ball right at the Bears' top pass rushers. I mean, the one thing that you can do to help try and nullify pass rushers is run the ball at them and make them play the run as well as the pass. So I think you'll have your hands full with this Bears front seven with Akeem Hicks. He's a monster inside. And Khalil, who's battled some injuries, but he's dynamic. And Robert Quinn's still trying to get going. Roquan Smith's been very good. Danny Trevathan in the middle is a veteran. I don't think you guys will run for 225 yards. But last week, I believe the Saints ran for 125. So I think if there is an Achilles heel of this defense, it is their inability to stop the run for four quarters. But, I mean, you'll go through a few series, and they'll get you three and out. I think if I was, you know, I'm not, you know, telling any secrets or breaking any news. I mean, you guys are going to run the football and try to establish it, and that's exactly what I would do if I was Tennessee.
I'm curious, you mentioned Khalil Mack, dynamic player. There's not as many football trades that you really sink your teeth into and say, man, what a huge trade. But a couple years later, how do you feel about that? It seems like both teams could make an argument that they like what they got.
They want it. Yeah, I think if you ask the Raiders, they'll tell you. I think Josh Jacobs was one of their picks that came from that trade. There was another one. I think they can claim that they did just fine with that trade. And it's an interesting question. It's a great question because it's been a topic of conversation for us repeatedly. I think it was the right trade. But the trade is kind of complicated because the trade meant that Mitchell Trubisky had to hit. And by that I mean you had moved up in the draft and you had drafted Mitch with the second overall pick. To get Khalil, you drafted two first-round picks and then you signed him to an extension which took away some of your salary cap flexibility. You gave up your draft currency. So now what it did was it pigeonholed this team, and Mitch had to be the quarterback because there was no escape hatch. You couldn't get out of the quarterback quandary by drafting another one because you didn't have any first-round picks. You couldn't get out of the quarterback quandary through free agency because you didn't have the cash because you gave it to Khalil. So at the time, we didn't know then what we know now about Mitch, and that's that he's a very or more limited quarterback than we thought. But once you made the trade for Khalil Mack, you found yourself in quarterback hell if Mitch wasn't the guy.
Tom Waddle is with us, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, former Bears wide receiver. And I know we're talking a lot about the Bears defense, but just how much of an impact have you seen Chuck Pagano make, not only on that defensive unit, but, you know, Matt Nagy's still a young coach. He's still learning, you know, his role as the head coach, and Chuck Pagano's obviously done it previously with the Colts. So how big of an impact has he made?
Yeah, I think they love having Chuck around. Chuck's defense is a little different than the defense that they saw in Matt's first year with Vic Fangio. That relationship, I mean, Matt had never been a part of being a head coach or had any impact on a defense, so that dynamic was really simple. Matt took care of the offense and basically, I think, for 17 weeks never walked into a defensive meeting room, not because he wasn't interested, but because he had such total faith and trust in what Vic was doing, and they had an epic 2018 season on defense. When Vic got the opportunity to be the head coach of the Broncos, I think it was the right move to bring Chuck in. Chuck's style's a little bit different, but I think the point you're making is a good one, because Matt can focus on the offense. Now, we giggle about that here in Chicago because we would like for him to focus less on this offense because he hasn't done anything for it. But you're right. The defense is kind of self-sufficient with Chuck in charge. So, yeah, I mean, I think Matt's done a really nice job hiring defensive coordinators, first with Fangio and now with Chuck Pagano.
So what is your philosophy on, and something you just said, you know, whether it's Nagy having to focus on the offense and being the head coach, obviously here in Nashville, that's something that we've experienced this season with Dean Pease retiring as the defensive coordinator. Vrabel is essentially the head coach and the DC with the outside linebackers coach, you know, helping with some of that. But that's been a big discussion on our show of, okay, does he need a defensive coordinator? Is he trying to do too much? So what is your philosophy on that as a head coach trying to not only run the entire team but then run one side of the ball?
Very few people can do it. Like San Francisco does it with Kyle Shanahan. I don't think there's any better play caller and game planner offensively in the league than Kyle Shanahan, and he's the coach. McVay does it. I think Shanny does it better than McVay, but McVay does it. Outside of that, you know, most guys kind of delegate. I mean, even Andy Reid has turned over play calling duties to Eric Bieniemy. Mike Tomlin is a great coach in this league, and I don't think Mike really calls the defenses. I think he relies on his coaches. I think there are the examples of where that works are few and far between. And right now, I was not an advocate. Again, they brought Matt in here to revolutionize this offense, and we were hoping he'd bring some of the magic from Kansas City here. I was an advocate when the season began, but Matt continued to call plays. At this point, they're 5-3. I'm thrilled with their record. I'm disgusted with their offense. I would hope that he would turn over play calling duties to somebody else and see if it helps. Bill Lazor's done it before. John DeFilippo's done it before. Maybe Matt take a step back and look at things, you know, more as an executive or somebody who's managing people. It's not working here in Chicago, I guess, is the best way to answer your question. It may work in a few other places, but here in Chicago, I don't believe it's in the best interest of this team to have Matt Nagy being the guy calling plays and the head coach. I wish he'd give up the play calling duties and just be the coach, because he's created a really nice culture in this town, and you can't argue with his record. You just can't be thrilled with what they've done on offense.
Well, very good stuff. Tom Waddle, ESPN 1000, former Bears receiver. Hey, we'll save you a beer for the next time you're in Nashville.
Yeah, you'll be out, man. If my people come to town, you won't have any. You won't have any beer left.
We'll try and hide some, but I know that's
okay.
Tough to do.
Stock up. Yeah. Store it in your fridge before they come.
All right, guys. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Tom Waddle, again, does afternoons ESPN 1000 there in Chicago, and also former Bears wide receiver. There's much more to discuss. We have a poll question at 1025 The Game on Twitter. We put that up asking you what you think is the biggest concern on special teams. We took the kicker out of it, and right now it's neck and neck between the punter and the long snapper. 45% say punter, 43% say long snapper, 12% say the holder. So go vote on that at 1025 The Game. D-Mac, give us a word. Oh, it's me. And so I should give us a word about, good job, about BetMGM. There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM Sports is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 moneyline wager on the Volunteers. And if they score a touchdown, you win. Just use the bonus code 1025GAME100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. If you're ready to start betting with confidence like I have, because I have had a lot of fun doing this in the past week, you can turn big plays into paydays. Sign up today and discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code 1025GAME100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Volunteers to score a touchdown. It is simply that easy, and the app is so easy to use as well. Just search for it in your app store. It's always showtime at BetMGM Sports. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Good stuff from Tom Waddle. Sounds like 1986
to
me.
Oh, let it play.
Let it play.
85, what is it, 85 or 86?
85. I love it.
Yes, Walter.
Isn't it amazing? A franchise like the Bears. Just think about the history of that franchise when it comes to football. But really, how many swings and misses they've had at quarterback? I mean, really, think about it. I mean, what? Well, who are the?
Well, we had the we did the poll, right? Somebody did research on it, and we were. This is one of our things during the complete dead time where there was no sports at all. The early part of the shutdown. And the ranking was dead last for the Bears for quarterback play overall. So Tom Waddle was a little after the Super Bowl shuffle, but with that in the context, right, the Bears have won the Super Bowl only once. They've had very poor quarterback play overall. And the Super Bowl shuffle came out in 85 when it was the middle of the season. They were a juggernaut, right, and they did go on to win the Super Bowl. By the time that song came out, they had never won anything. That was pretty gutsy to come out with that. We're here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. Can you imagine if they had lost, got beat?
Oh, I know. And obviously that was before my time. But from because I've obviously studied the history of the NFL, they lost one game. Is that right?
They lost one game to Dan Marino and the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. And it looked like that was going to be the rematch in the Super Bowl, which would have been awesome. But the Patriots upset the Dolphins in the Orange Bowl in the AFC Championship game, which was a pretty big shocker. The Patriots were a very good team, but as you saw in the Super Bowl, they were no match for the Bears, where Marino and that offense would have had a shot. That would have been just an epic matchup in the Super Bowl in a game we never got to see.
Evidently, there were some extra cameras found before that game at Miami Stadium, and it was just never proven that maybe the Patriots were indeed spying on the Dolphins all the way back then.
That was way before Belichick.
Oh, okay. Maybe
who was the coach of the Patriots then?
Maybe not.
Raymond Berry.
Raymond Berry.
The former Colt wide receiver in the Johnny Unitas era.
Nashvilleian, right?
That I'm not sure of.
Didn't he live here?
I saw her.
He might have lived here for a while. I know his daughter went to Vanderbilt at the time that I did. Ashley, she was a great track athlete. So there's definitely some Nashville ties there. I don't know if Raymond Berry lived here or not.
I thought he lived here. I could be wrong. Raymond Berry's got to be in his 80s, right? Late 80s?
Possibly.
Gotta be.
We could take a look, right?
Raymond Berry is 87.
87. Wow. Look up and see if he lived in Nashville or lives in Nashville.
That's what I'm trying to find out. Coaching.
What is Sawyer in a tizzy about? What's his problem?
I think there's a bird flying around outside.
There's birds every day. Sawyer, come on.
He gets worked up over things. So.
Nothing on Nashville?
No.
Guys, I'm gonna have to do this on the air. I'm gonna need you guys to talk for a little bit. I gotta step away. I'm bleeding. I've like picked something on my hand, and I've got blood gushing.
You
everywhere.
Injured yourself on the show?
I need to go get a band.
Injury timeout.
Oh, there's barking. Gonna be blood everywhere. I don't know what I've picked, but I've picked something.
Pulled the Dan Aykroyd in the when he was Julia Child on Saturday Night Live and he cut his finger? That's a famous skit.
I don't remember
the blood
that.
Starts gushing everywhere. It's pretty awesome.
So I'll be right back. I need to go get a Band-Aid. This is going to be a mess.
Good luck.
Chase, I got some numbers for you. All right,
give us the numbers.
I asked Tom Waddle about the matchup. Titans run game, best in the business against a really good Bears defense. And did you hear what he said? He said the Bears defense is excellent, but if there is something you can do against them, it might be to run the ball. And earlier today, I took a look at how teams have fared week in and week out against the Bears D running the ball. Okay? They are 11th against the run in Football Outsiders efficiency, even though overall they're a top 10 defense. They're an excellent defense. But if there is something you can do, I think you have a decent shot of running the ball. Let's take it week by week. The first week, Adrian Peterson, 14 carries for 93 yards for the Lions in a game that the Bears won, 27-23. And overall, the Lions ran for 138 yards, a 4.8 average. The second game they played was against the Giants. The Bears, in their going off their 3-0 start, they got up 17-0 against a pitiful Giants team. Saquon Barkley, I don't know if that was the game that he got hurt, was it? He only had 4 carries for 28 yards. I think he had issues in that game. But the Giants ran 18 times for 75 yards, respectable. But they only ran it 18 times because they were down 17-0. In the infamous Atlanta game, where Atlanta completely gaffed the game away, the Falcons, in jumping out to the lead, ran 25 times for 144 yards, 5.8 yards a carry. Todd Gurley, 14 carries, 80 yards. Brian Hill, 9 carries, 58 yards. So you're seeing a pattern here. You can have a good running game against the Bears. I think this is a critical thing to look for in the matchup. Indianapolis didn't run it very well. Indianapolis won the game 19-11. Jonathan Taylor, 17 carries, 68 yards, 4 yards a carry. Tampa Bay, Ronald Jones, 17 carries, 106 yards. The Bears beat Tampa in that game. That's probably the best win you could see for the Bears. But Jones ran the ball well for the Bucs that day. Carolina, Mike Davis, 18 carries, 52 yards. Not great. For the Rams, ran the ball very, very well as a squad. Kind of split up between Henderson and Brown. 34 carries, 160 yards on the ground. And then New Orleans last week, not really a running team, but still 30 carries, 122 yards. Taysom Hill had 5 carries for 35 yards, and that unique way that they use him. Alvin Kamara, 12 carries for 67 yards. So you take it week by week, you can run the ball against the Bears. I think that's where you really set the tone with the Titans. Can they get their thing going early with the Titans running game? Because, Chase, the offense, as good as it's been, it's gotten off to a rough start these last two games that they've lost. Yeah. It'll take them a little while to get going.
Yeah, but the bright spot has been Derrick Henry. I mean, he is he had 75 yards in the loss to Pittsburgh on 20 carries, 112 in the loss to Cincinnati on 18 carries. So that is what the Titans are going to have to rely on. Now, Ryan Tannehill, he made a bad throw. You know, a very bad throw against Cincinnati. He's going to have to clean that up. He's going to have to do a little bit more than maybe he's been asked to do. But he's also shown that he can make those big plays. So I'm not concerned about the offense, at least not yet. I didn't think that Arthur Smith had his best game against Cincinnati and even to start against Pittsburgh. So I think those are some things that they've met about and they've discussed. But this is a good defense, and you know you also wonder when you have a good offense against a good defense. I mean, that does that almost fire them up a little bit more, that they know they have to be focused, and so they're going to clean some of these things up. So I'm really not that concerned about the offense, but I agree they're going to have to definitely play better than they have the last couple games.
Couple of wide receiver news.
Well, hold on.
In the NFL.
Darren,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Have you controlled the bleeding?
Yep.
Welcome back.
I had to step away when I did, because if I didn't, it would have
okay.
got messy.
Well, we just don't want to have this visual of you talking and spurting blood all over your house.
No, I've got a Band-Aid. We're good. I just was worried if I just sat here, it was starting to get a little bit out of control. I'm like, it's just going to start, you know, dripping everywhere. So I was like, I need to go get a Band-Aid. So I'm good. It's all good.
Okay.
Lions have signed Mohamed Sanu. So that's interesting. Sanu, I guess, has not been
why
on the
is it interesting?
This year.
Like, is he? what is interesting about Mohamed Sanu these days?
Like, why? Yeah, why are they doing that? They've got some injuries, I'm assuming. I don't know. I know that Galladay, did he get hurt on Sunday in their game? But anyway, Chris Godwin, another wide receiver, apparently the Bucs are saying, remember he had surgery on his finger, and a guy that I traded away on my fantasy team this week, will play on Sunday, according to Bruce Arians. So he will play. And right now, there's so much. I know this sounds crazy. There's so much going on this weekend. This was hard to come up with six because there's so many good games. We're not going to have time to, we're not going to really be able to play around with any props for the most part. But if I had the prop in there, will Antonio Brown score on Sunday night? What would your answer be?
Score, huh?
Yeah, score a touchdown. I mean, he's playing.
Well, it's kind of hard. I was just, you know, watching last night part of the game between the 49ers and the Packers, which was not a game.
No.
Right? It was a blowout.
It's very one-sided.
Really, the only thing is, I had the tight end in for the Packers. My son had the running back in for the Packers.
Nothing.
Aaron Jones, right?
Well, so, Jones had was all right, but the tight end, he did nothing.
Yeah. But my point is, when the ball is inside the red zone, that's the only thing you're curious about is who's going to get the ball to score, right? And it can go different ways, different weeks. So it's kind of random, you know, who do they go to in the red zone? So I have no way of answering. It's probably, 40%, 30%. It's hard to know where he's going to be in the game plan right now. My guess is they're going to want to get him involved, right? But this is the dilemma when you sign a guy like that, is you feel like if you have him, you got to use him. But you already have an excellent offense.
Willie, you don't use big-name receivers as a decoy.
But somebody's got to be a decoy if you've got God.
I know what you mean
by
that.
I guess he didn't get that one.
No, I got it.
He didn't get that reference.
I got it. Did this receiver you're referring to wear number 84?
I mean, we don't. Do we remember 2011 or 2010? Was it 2010 or 2011? 2010, right?
And it was Jeff Fisher's last year.
Yeah, 2010.
Yeah.
Don't remember Randy Moss? Remember, he can't get both their same receiver, can't get them both out on the field at the same time. Don't remember that.
That was silly.
Yeah. So, you can't use Antonio Brown as a decoy. I mean, you know they're going to want to feature him somehow, some way.
I think Tom's going to try and get him the ball.
I do.
That's
too.
What I think.
I mean, he's wearing a TB12 hat all week at his pressers. I mean, not Tom, Antonio.
And he scored He's the one game he played for the Patriots, he had a touchdown.
Yep.
I think he scores. I think Tom tries to get him
the
ball.
So you would vote yes.
Yes.
He scores.
And let me pull up.
Do we have a little prop on that?
Let me pull up the old BetMGM app and see what we got here. If there is a prop on that yet.
Oh, there's got to be. Got to be a prop on that.
I'm surprised you don't have this on the – I mean, there's the prop bets are the most fun on our pick six, so I'm not sure why you didn't put this on the pick six.
What did I just say? There's too many good games this week, which is a good problem to have.
The props are more fun. You got to have a mix. That's my request.
I don't think they have props out yet. They usually do that a little closer to.
I say we got to mix in one prop for pick six. Come on. Come on. Reconsider.
Too many good games, man. Too many good games. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I've had fun with the props as of late. Just saying.
There is breaking news down in Murfreesboro. We had Will Healy on yesterday to start the final. Really good conversation with him at 1 o'clock yesterday. And ironically, he talked a lot about – he called himself a COVID coach, not a football coach. Well, isn't that ironic? Because we have just learned that Charlotte is not coming to town. They're not coming to Murfreesboro tomorrow because they've had an outbreak of COVID issues. And they will not be traveling to Murfreesboro, so no MTSU and Charlotte tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. So that game, add that to the list. Another game, postponed, but they are looking to make it up. Postponed, so that's now 9 games postponed or canceled this weekend in college football.
Hmm. Well, we'll certainly keep you updated on that. I did find the answer to the question, though.
Well, but before we go there, though, my first thought, because of course we're talking about the college game, but with the high school football playoffs starting tonight, I just have this. I hold my breath and like, please, can we get through this with minimal stuff? You just know that somewhere along the line, there's going to be a team that can't go out there and play in a playoff game, and that's really, really tough. But the virus. You know, it doesn't know that there's playoffs, right? It doesn't act any differently. So it's just tough. It's tough. You hate to see this.
Yeah.
What do you got, Chase? Let's get back on a positive note.
Yes. So Antonio Brown to score a touchdown at any time. Plus 150, according to DraftKings.
So more likely than
he does. Small underdog.
Yeah, but to put this in perspective, he's got the same odds as an anytime touchdown scorer as Chris Godwin and Michael Thomas. They're all plus 150.
Really?
Not Michael Thomas. Evans.
Thomas. No, Mike Michael Thomas. No, Michael Thomas for the Saints. I'm looking it up.
Is he
for
even
that
playing?
Game. Well, right now they have him on there. No, Mike Evans is plus 108.
Well, he is a guy that down near the goal line, you throw it up to him. He's one of the best in the game at going up and grabbing it, which might affect how you answer that question, right, in terms of Brown.
Now, if you're
would you agree? Like, is there anybody better of, I'm just going to throw the jump ball, I'm going to throw the ball in the back of the end zone, he's going to go get it? Evans might be the best of anybody.
Yeah, I agree. If you're so inclined, for first touchdown scorer, Antonio Brown is plus 1,100.
Not surprised by that. I can't imagine that he is a first touchdown. Although no. Devontae Adams, last
yeah,
night, first
that was
touchdown.
Good. That was good. That was real good.
But you liked that, didn't you?
I did like that. I liked that a lot.
Kirk Cousins liked it too.
You like that?
You like that? There's also some Nashville SC news that we can touch on the other side. Got more coming because they are in the MLS playoffs. Their opponent has been named. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk a little bit about the Titans, a little UT Arkansas. We'll hit on a variety of things to close out the second hour. You just made the list to start the third hour, followed by at the bottom of that hour at 12:30. We'll talk to Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports, to kick off the final hour, followed by pick six. Loaded show today. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Nashville SC, they'll take on Orlando City SC. That'll be this Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Final regular season game. And then they begin the playoffs. You can hear the match on ESPN 94.9. Pre-game coverage at 2:15. Chase McCabe will be producing. Boy, I can't tell who wrote this copy. Of course, I didn't read exactly word for word.
I actually don't.
Because I don't read word for word what is on the teleprompter.
You're not Ron Burgundy?
Nope.
What?
Because there's some bonus words in there, verbiage on Max and Chase. So I've narrowed it down to YouTube because Max will be on the board producing and you'll be the engineer. So there's a lot of extra, description of that final regular season game about you two. So I know I've narrowed it down to one of you wrote this. So Chase, you are saying it was not you. So no. It was Max. Okay.
Good job. Great. I like it.
I did say that they found out, they have not found out. But what they have found out is kind of how the playoffs, when it's going to start, what it's going to look like. And the first games, the two games in the Eastern Conference, the play-in round, will start on Friday, November 20th. So that's what we've learned. And Saturday, November 21st, we'll have two more games, and that'll be the Western Conference 1 versus 8 seed. So it just goes on, basically showing you every day. There's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There'll be three games on Sunday, and then they'll take Monday off, and they'll be back at it on Tuesday. And so everything gets cranked up Friday, November 20th, two night games on Friday, and that'll be Eastern Conference play-in round.
Yep.
Can they still get out of the play-in? Or is that closing up?
I would need to... To be honest with you, I would need to ask somebody that's smarter than I am on all this because I'm still learning. I don't think so. I think they needed a win in their last game. So I don't think so, but I don't know 100% on that. And for those of you wondering why there's a break, that is the – okay, so Max says they can, but they need some help.
Need some help. They're in eighth right now.
Yes. But there's a two-week, there's an international break. So that's why the regular season ends on Sunday, and then there's a break before the playoffs get started. So I know that's a little confusing because I asked that question the other night. I was like, why is there a break? But that's what it is. So get a couple of weeks off and then get it going again.
Well, regardless of what happens from here, job well done to get to the postseason in your first season, especially with all of the adversity thrown at them. New stadium coming up on the horizon. This is a good start.
Those renderings are awesome.
By the way, I went and looked and watched the video that you brought up, and it is. It's cool.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah. Yeah. Where are they right now on that? I haven't been over in that area.
I want to go over and look. All of this. I haven't driven by there in a while.
I
want to look. I have vivid memories of the arena, and the football stadium, obviously, right? You saw it slowly and steadily getting built. I have not been able to do that for even First Tennessee Park, or it's not called that anymore. I'm blanking on the merger. First Horizon Park. Sorry, we saw that little by little go up. Yep. I haven't done that for the soccer stadium yet.
I remember going by there one time and going, "Are they going to be done in time? It's getting close. Are they going to be done in time?"
Yeah.
Within First Tennessee Park. But, I watched that video. Very cool. Yeah, what a season. It looks like, from what I can tell on the release, that these games early on will be found on ESPN, either ESPN or ESPN2 and FS1. Then I was looking as they get to the semifinal round, you'll be able to find some of them on ABC. And also ESPN and FS1. But some of these will be shown on ABC. And then it looks like the MLS Cup will be on Fox.
Yep. That's their TV deal. And the MLS Cup will be December 12th.
I was going to say Saturday, September, or December 12th will be the MLS Cup. And that will be shown Saturday night on Fox. So be cool. Congratulations to Nashville SC.
Yeah, awesome inaugural season. And, as I told the broadcast crew the other night, it's cool to have their voices on these moments, whether it's TV or radio, because there's only one first season. And they'll have the first season in the new stadium when that opens, but this is the inaugural season, and all these moments are going to be historic for Nashville SC. So pretty cool to be a part of that.
since DraftKings and BetMGM is a big part of our show now, and now that sports betting, sports mobile betting is up and running in our state and been going all week, anybody have like a game they've been looking at? By the way, this could be a really interesting college football game tonight with BYU and Boise State.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that one.
I'm going to check it out.
It's
I'm going to find out. I'm sorry. Yes, it is. Kelly Holcomb took Boise State. BYU is a slight favorite. What is it, 3.5, 4? And BYU has been trouncing everybody. They haven't really played anybody, but they've been trouncing everybody. But we'll see tonight. But is there any game, college or pro, or anything, actually, anything that you could do? And, Chase, I'll start with you because you've been scouring this stuff that you feel really, really good about. It would be a nice, as George used to say, a gift for the people.
A gift to the people. I do, actually.
Because a lot of you have been going and putting in the codes, and we appreciate that. We're getting nice feedback. A lot of people checking this out and doing a little, you know, participating with it. So, you know, you have a gift for the people?
I do. I will, and there's some people that we know that'll probably love this gift. So there's a game that when I was kind of going through and looking, it's an 11 o'clock game tomorrow in the Big Ten. Michigan State at Iowa. I think the wrong team's favored, in my opinion. Michigan State's getting 6.5, coming off a big win over Michigan. I like Michigan State plus the 6.5. In fact, I like that a lot. So that's my gift to the people.
You like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
So take the 6.5. And
I think Michigan State might be a little bit better than we initially thought.
Well, they didn't look better in against Rutgers, but
they did not.
Certainly looked a lot better against Michigan.
They did not, but they turned it around. Mel Tucker turned it around. Get used to saying that. But yeah, I like them on the road.
I ironically have had a lot of talk with people this week about Michigan and Jim Harbaugh. So I'm going to ask you a lot of conversations that I've had off the air about Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, who his contract is up in 2021. Did you guys know that?
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
He gets paid, I think, $8 million a year. How do you think this is – and there is no – right now there is nothing out there about an extension, a new contract, nothing. How do you think that's going to play out? Sitting here today, what's your gut feeling? Does he get a new contract? Does he stick around? They're at Indiana, by the way, this week. Saturday morning at 11 a.m. They're just a 3-point favorite against the Hoosiers. A lot of people like Indiana. How do you think this Jim Harbaugh thing is going to play out at Michigan?
I don't think he gets a new contract, but I think because he's a Michigan guy, I think he ends up saving face and he just goes back to the NFL. And that's the exit. That's the exit strategy. And I've thought that for a while, but now that you've revealed, I didn't know that. I didn't know he only had 1 year left.
His contract is up 3 days after their final game in 2021.
Now, the trick there is, does he give up $8 million to jump back into the NFL after this year? You know, or because I still don't see them buying out the last year.
Told to me last night, his record against Ohio State and Michigan State in the Big House since he's been the head coach, I think I was told, is 1-6. Is that sound right?
That sounds right.
At home against Ohio State and Michigan State, he's 1-6 against those two teams.
Yeah, and this year, I mean, he's already lost to Michigan State. They're not going to beat Ohio State.
By the way,
State.
That was in the Big House.
Yeah, they're not going to beat Ohio State.
No, they're not.
It sounds like they have got to address it at the end of this year.
Do they? Everything I have seen,
If you don't address it at the end of the season, it's going to be a big thing. It'll be a big cloud because rarely do you do that, right? Just let it play into the last
year
of the contract?
Oh, in college football, I mean, your coach has got to be locked up for 6 years, but, or you can't get any recruits.
We have discussed
right?
this
I mean,
for decades,
you
got
to have
right?
a long contract to get recruits.
Well, sometimes if a guy has 4 years left, you feel the a school feels like you got to extend them, right?
That's my point.
So you don't see this even get to this.
Looking at you, Philip Palmer.
Yeah, I mean, right. We just talked about all this. It's ridiculous. This whole thing, like you've got to have all these years on a contract, or heaven forbid, you'll never be able to land a recruit.
So it's almost refreshing that they've let it get to this. But I think going into the last year, you got to have a discussion. Part of it is, does Jim Harbaugh still have the battery power and the desire to want to stay there? Or in his mind, is he going to be looking for a new challenge? He's been a guy that is more of a five and dive kind of guy, right? Every several years, he goes, does something different.
He's a weird dude to deal with. And we have seen coaches like that. When they're strange or difficult to deal with, usually their shelf life is about 5 years. Sound familiar?
So that's part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So now the question would be, if he says, yeah, I'm looking for a new challenge, is it as simple as just jumping back and he'll get an NFL head coaching job? I don't know if that's a given.
I still think
right away. Now maybe he could go do TV for a year. I think if he waits long enough, he eventually.
Have you ever heard Jim Harbaugh do an interview? Would you want him doing TV?
I don't want him on TV.
I don't want him on TV.
But we've had some. Did you think Urban Meyer would jump on a TV and be a weekly guy? Do it. There's plenty of people that you would not have. Bill
Urban
Parcells
Meyer is. I do not put Urban Meyer in the same breath with Jim Harbaugh in doing interviews.
Yeah, Urban
Meyer. Urban Meyer used to be pretty combative with the media. He used to intimidate the media.
But
he would manipulate the media.
Yes,
and now he's Mr. Media.
But you want that? I mean, he's going to have something to say.
Yeah.
You don't think Jim Harbaugh could have something to say? He says outrageous things all the time. That's very welcome for a TV screen. Are you kidding?
He also shuts down and doesn't say
anything. He's kind of boring.
I mean, yeah,
he is not boring when he wants to not.
I mean, when he's in coach speak mode, and look, he could as a analyst, sure, maybe he opens up.
You guys, Bill Parcells jumped on TV for a couple of seasons after he retired before he went back in there. There are guys that would that it's total hypocritical, right? They treat the media like dirt,
no question,
and then they jump in there and they have all smiles and they love it, right?
Yep.
So Jim Harbaugh would be no different. If he wanted to do TV, somebody would hire him.
Do you remember his interview with Colin Cowherd?
Yeah,
where Colin just said, "Apparently, you're not going to talk about anything, so we're just going to end this conversation."
Yeah, he hung
thanks,
up on
Coach.
That was great. That was great, but. You may be right that they have to figure that out this year, because it's not a foregone conclusion they win this weekend at Indiana. Then you got Wisconsin at Rutgers, Penn State, who knows? Who knows what Penn State is? Maryland, and then at Ohio State to close out the season. It's not easy for them in the way that they've, you know, started. Yeah, they won. I didn't watch the game against Minnesota, but, you know, they won that game.
They look very
pretty
good
big.
In that game.
Yeah. But then Michigan State is completely different.
I don't know what happened there. The Big Ten has been hard to figure, right? There's been 2 weeks of – there's been some wacky scores comparatively. Some big surprises both weeks.
All right, we'll come back. Hour number three, you just made the list, and Rashawn Evans. Next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.